I'm very glad to be here, and as I understand, this is a combined meeting of the Democrats and the Student Education Association. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, very good. Well, I'm happy to be here with all of you because I think really there's so much overlap between a student agenda and an education, how are you doing, education agenda, and it all focuses on really big differences between the governor and State Senator Bill Brady. Huge differences in the area of education. In terms of support for public education, the governor has put his political capital on the line and said public education has to be a priority for the state. State Senator Brady has said, we want a 10% across the board cut, everything. So that means cutting out of education $1.26 billion. Kind of like billion with Dr. Evil quotes behind it. It's a huge amount. If you think of the budget cuts that the governor had to make this year, was about that amount of money from the whole budget. And you think of how badly that has had an impact on a lot of human service agencies. If you took just that amount from public education, it would be huge. Let me give you one other example. MAP grants. Who here has a real easy time paying for school? Raise your hand right now. I didn't think so. As someone who's paying tuition here and understanding all the increases that have gone on, public education is increasingly, unless we are watchful as a state, is increasingly something that's accessible only to people who have lots of money. And that's fundamentally the wrong direction to go for our state. We need to have education. We need to have everyone have access to education so that we're bringing into the state the kind of jobs that will keep all of you here, that will make a bright future for the state. So that's just a couple of differences between the governor and State Senator Brady. I am happy. I'm a teacher down at the law school at Southern Illinois University. And as a teacher, I'm very happy to have been named the governor's point person on education. Education is really important to me. I just came from a meeting of IEA folks just outside of town, and they're active and interested. And let me tell you what I told them, which is what you can do in this election. And I'm sure that the whole organization has been given the pitch to everyone to get involved. But it's really significant, your involvement, that personal contact with someone to say, hey, your vote is important to me. I want to make sure you have your voice heard. I want to make sure you can take advantage of early and easy voting starting on October 3rd?
11th.
Okay. David, I didn't even see you there. Hey, what a wonderful bunch of folks here. I hope everyone gets to have lots of time to speak and answer questions. Early voting, easy voting, it's going to be incredibly important for you and your friends to be heard. And just like one at a time, talking to people and saying, I'd like you to vote, is going to make a difference. And I'll give you one example from two Sundays ago. A friend of mine has loaned me an apartment up in Chicago. And we went to get the Sun-Times on Sunday morning, and the closest place is the local liquor store. So my husband and I are at the liquor store on Sunday morning, and we say, hey, we'd like a Sun-Times because I think there's an article in there about me. And sure enough, there we leaf through on the counter, and there it is, like, wow. And the guys at the liquor store are like, wow, is that cool? Are you like a celebrity or something? Like, no, I'm only running for lieutenant governor. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. So they understand. But after that exchange, then one and the other guy, who are the clerks at the liquor store, say, well, I'm going to vote now. Right? And I didn't tell him anything about who I am, what I stand for. It was just that personal connection. I'm going to vote now. Someone I know is connected with this. You are going to be that personal connection for someone you know. You're going to talk to someone who might never have been asked to vote before. You're going to be phone banking. You're going to be knocking on doors. And it's all going to be incredibly important. It's going to be what makes a difference from keeping us on an honest track in the tradition of Abraham Lincoln, Paul Douglas, Dick Durbin, Barack Obama, as opposed to the other track, which we certainly have plenty of examples of in Illinois, which can be kind of discouraging, right? But it's our participation that keeps things moving in the right direction. So enough for me. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. If you have any questions. There's no quiz afterward, no penalties. Yes.
David, you're so funny.
You have special issues that you would like to address as Lieutenant Governor. You know how Pat Quinn kind of focused on veterans as when he was serving as Lieutenant Governor. Is there an area you'd like to?
Have the folks here met you yet, David?
No,
this is
no.
David Gill, who's running for Congress. Wonderful, wonderful guy. Yeah. And as a part of our Dog and Pony show, we should probably ask each other wonderful questions all the way around, right? So thank you, David. I was selected for this spot on the ticket in a kind of funny way that was kind of like half rough-elbowed politics and half American Idol. And so here I am. But part of that process meant that the governor got to talk with all of the folks involved. And I think he recommended me to the party partly because we share a lot of priorities and we'll be able to really work together in a way that other folks might not have been able to work together before. So working on jobs, working on education, working on a responsible budget are things that I anticipate working with the governor on. But as a special bonus, my passion, my background is in the area of domestic violence. I've been a prosecutor. I started up the domestic violence legal clinic at the law school at SIU. Where we serve victims of domestic violence and, most importantly, teach students about domestic violence, how to respond to it, how the legal system responds to it. So I know firsthand that there are lots of folks out there who are saying, I'm in a violent situation and I need help. And to some extent, we're responding adequately, but we can do better as a state, we can do better as a community. And the more we have families who are not experiencing that kind of violence, because it's one thing to have the two adults who are in the violent relationship, right? But so often there are children watching the adults in their lives resolve their disputes in a violent way. And when that happens, it shouldn't be any surprise to us that as teenagers, as young adults, they resolve their own disputes in a violent way. It's different in different parts of the state. But in Chicago, where I spend a lot of time because there are a few voters up there, you open up the paper on Monday morning and the story about who was killed over the weekend will not be on the front page. It's that much of an accepted thing almost, violence in our society. I don't want to say accepted, but expected. It's certainly expected. And I would like to move in a direction of expecting better. There's lots of talk about the end and how we prosecute, and I certainly am, as a former prosecutor, that's a valuable part of the conversation, but I'd also like to talk about the beginning and how we can keep some folks from seeing violence as a way to resolve their problems. So thank you, David. You're sweet. Other questions? Yes, if it's a hard one, Mike gets to answer. Yes.
You know, apathy is a big problem this time around, and the problem also is that people don't like either. Can you give one or two reasons why everyone here could either do it themselves and tell other people to vote for Pat Quinn rather than Bill Brady?
Yeah. Okay, a couple of reasons. I'll just give you one really good one, or maybe it's two rolled into one. He's an honest, gutsy guy, okay? Take a look at Pat Quinn. Take a look at the pictures on our website. This is not like a slick packaged image. This is a real guy, and maybe not perfect. And I won't advertise that. You probably won't agree with him on everything, but he is straightforward and honest and in it not for serving himself, not for publicity or glory. He's in it as a real public servant, and that's one of the things I appreciate about him. His motivation is unquestioned, and that's one of the reasons it was easy for me to sign up and say, hey, I'm with you. So that's a good question. Other questions? Yes.
Salam. I feel like this is a really grim episode in our country's history. I mean, Glenn Beck makes me sick. Yuck. And then that preliminary mosque in Tennessee, it looks like it was set fire to by arson. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that hate crime, the attack on that taxi driver, I just don't understand why this is happening now. I mean, the only only thing I can think of is that we have someone who's different, who's other in the White House, and all these, that seems to give these reactionary groups license to unleash, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, could you give me any sort of...
I can give you hope in that, and maybe give it a discount because I'm just a fundamentally optimistic person. I see challenges rather than problems, and I think you're right in pegging it to, at least in part, some of this is a reaction to having someone who is other, perceived as other, in authority. And a lot of people like to dial the clock back to something that they're comfortable with. In fact, State Senator Brady said in one speech over the summer, he said, "I'd really like to have America return to the John Wayne days." And I think of all the leading roles for women in the John Wayne days, and I come up with nothing. So there's certainly a reaction anytime there's change, but at the same time, we've got change. We've got someone who's going to cause us to look at things differently. I'll give you an example from, this is, Riley's here so I can embarrass her. When Riley was little, I was a prosecutor, and we hung out with a lot of police officers, and a lot of them were women police officers, just because the Carbondale Police Force has a lot of women on their force. And Riley came home from preschool one day, and was very excited. She said, "We had a talk about safety today from a police officer." And then she stopped and she added, "He was a boy." And I thought, that's so delightful, because when I was a kid, I would have never had to say the police officer was a boy, because that's the only variety police officers came in. They were all boys. And so I can see change, and I can see how Riley sees change and how she sees a different world. And so for every Glenn Beck that's getting publicly excited and really grating on your nerves like fingernails on a blackboard, there are probably lots of other people who are being inspired. And I hope that you can be inspired as well. So, a good question. Yes, in the way back.
Hi, I'm Patsy Petrie, and I'm a county board candidate, so that means somebody on the bottom of the ballot. So how is somebody like yourself, who's at the top of the ballot, encouraging voters not to roll off and actually get down and vote to the bottom of the ballot as you are campaigning?
Yeah, I see the ballot as a great package that works for all of us. And certainly talking about the statewide folks, the statewide ticket, if we elect a Democratic ticket statewide, we will have constitutional officers, half of them women, half of them men, to which I say, about time. So I think it's a tremendous advantage. There are also some of the most important races at the bottom of the ballot, including judicial races. So it's incredibly important to be responsible all the way through the ballot, absolutely. And I think you being on the ballot will help me. I hope my being on the ballot will help you as well. So thank you. Yes, Jessica. Yeah, MAP grants, well, probably a bunch of you are using MAP grants, and they were cut out of the action last time around, and through not just the governor, but the governor with a whole lot of students behind the governor, students from all the universities, really working on legislators, making the legislative process work, said, hey, this is too significant, we can't let this go, this means opportunity for us, and, you know, I wish I could say that, you know, magically we've got a great way to fund it. It's still a challenge to pay for that, but it's now been identified through a very open and public process as a significant priority for all of us. And I should say, I want to thank Jessica for, are you the head of the student IEA bunch?
One of them.
One of them. Well, anyway, I appreciate you. And Jessica, I ran into when I was campaigning in Gurnee, which does not have a whole lot of Democrats there, so I'm shaking hands with everyone, and lots of people are saying, nice to meet you, and kind of muttering under their breath, and they run into Jessica, and she says, you're Sheila Simon, and I'm like, yes, I am. So it's great to see you again here. Yes?
Now, do you have any ideas on how we might encourage our local putting the polling place in a convenient place such as the Union rather than off in some obscure corner of campus?
Well, I love that question. It's the second time I've heard it in 2 hours here in your community. So obviously it's an important question, and I would encourage everyone to speak up. And you know, the whole point of a democracy is participation. And it seems like having voting available here on campus would be a way to promote democracy. So I would encourage all of you to talk to members of the media and anyone else to have an impact there.
This man stays within the law. I mean, he's never been sent to jail. But he does make it difficult for students to vote in any, quite frequently. They're just the way he operates. So, for example, one of the places he might be putting the polling place would be over on University Avenue, which was inconvenient for all the students.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah. Well, let me just toss in a reminder about voting in general. I mean, we sort of take it for granted. 90 years ago, women got the right to vote for the first time. So think about what great-grandma it is for you who was born in a time when there was an assumption that she would not vote, that she would not serve on juries, that she would not participate in the public process. It's not that far away. For me, it's my grandma, Riley's great-grandma Hurley, was born at a time when she couldn't vote and obviously got the right to vote. And savored it. The more you know about how much people have done to try and throw obstacles in the way of people participating in the democratic process, I think the more you will value it. But making it easier, obviously, is significant to all of us. Yes?
Shelley, the question from up there just reminded me of a wonderful pleasure I had in being able to have a conversation with your dad about Lincoln.
Ah, what fun.
And I had mentioned the Gettysburg Address, and he said, no, the greatest Lincoln Address was the second inaugural address. So he probably said this to you, too. But it was because at a time when this country was torn by violence and hatred that's, even compared to today, was off scale, that this speech was about and we were still in the war,
right.
And the speech was about reconciliation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, I really get the same feeling from you that I got from your dad, that not only a problem solver, but a person who really has the ability to bring people together.
Well, thank you very much. And for those of you who are too young to know, which is really, I'm sure, most of you, my dad was Paul Simon, and that doesn't mean Graceland, and he was not a singer, but was a United States Senator from Illinois, and I learned a lot of lessons from him along the way. One of the unexpected parts of the campaign is I run into a lot of folks at audiences of a little bit slight elevated age who knew Dad and worked with Dad in one way or another, and the most consistent thing they say to me is, I didn't always agree with him, but I appreciated his honesty. So it's like every day I get this little indirect message, hey, honesty is the most important thing. And for an Illinois politician, I think that's not a bad thing to hear. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I just wondered, you mentioned that. Like, how does this campaign separate themselves from, like, the last administration, I guess?
Oh, okay, from the Blagojevich administration. I like that. Very clever use of, we don't want to talk about it. But, you know, I think it's important to talk about it. We have to acknowledge it, and we have to say it's not just the last administration, but the one before that. Two convicts now, two federal criminals, and it's a pretty embarrassing thing. I mean, if we're the topic of conversation on The Daily Show, that's something to be avoided, right? So I think we have to acknowledge it, and we have to acknowledge how we can use that to move ourselves in the right direction. And that's probably where I'm have had the opportunity to work most closely with Governor Quinn was when I was on the Illinois Reform Commission. He appointed this commission right after Blagojevich's arrest, and we came up with, we had hearings all over the state, had a great bunch of people serving on this commission, and made a lot of recommendations, many of which were put into law. Some of them make contracts with the state a little bit more challenging to operate because there's a lot more that's open and transparent now that wasn't before. But the single most significant law that we changed as a result of that reform commission and as a result of recognizing that this would be a good time to make change is limits on campaign contributions, right? Everyone here in this voice, in this room has a voice, right? We all have something to say. And the fact that you guys are college students and are not going to write out a big check to me at the end of the evening shouldn't have an impact on how I regard what you have to say. If you have a brilliant idea, I want to respect that brilliant idea. If you have a stinky idea, it's a stinky idea. But when ideas come connected with a check for a huge amount of money, you know, you can see how that's going to have an impact on the process. So, and oddly enough, it doesn't affect this election cycle, but the next election cycle will have limits that are similar to the federal election limits that we're already used to. And they might not be easy to work with, but they're a significant change in the right direction. So that's one of the ways we separate ourselves. Jessica, you've already had a question. Anyone else, one more question? All right, Jessica, it's the last question because I don't want to monopolize too much of your time.
I just had one question about the jobs bill that was recently passed.
Uh-huh.
We have a bunch of future teachers in here, and I was just wondering if you knew anything about actually how much money the state's going to get for homeschool funding.
Yeah, the numbers are huge, and I have to say I would be irresponsible if I tried to tell you the exact number that's coming from the federal government to Illinois, but it's significant. And it helps us directly exactly where we need it. When we're talking about jobs, when people talk about layoffs and whose jobs are insecure, to have teachers be the ones who are insecure about that is a really bad thing for our society. So, thank goodness we have wonderful folks in Washington, D.C. who recognize that and recognize that this is not only a jobs bill but a great way to keep the economic recovery going. It might not feel like we've got a lot of jobs in Illinois, but Illinois is leading the Midwest in job growth. So we're doing something right, partly through governmental action. It's at this point, we talked about Glenn Beck earlier, it's kind of fashionable to trash the government, right? But there's a whole lot that a state and a federal government can do for folks. Governor Quinn and the state legislature enacted a tax credit for people who hire someone new in this fiscal year, keep them employed all fiscal year. It's not something that's going to cause every employer to run out and hire someone new, but if an employer was kind of on the edge, thinking maybe this is the year I do it, maybe not, this will be something that combined with a federal tax credit says, yeah, this is the year I'm going to do it. Governor Quinn was a strong advocate for having that federal money for schools come to the state of Illinois. State Senator Brady said, no, it's irresponsible. I think we have a different definition of irresponsible. I think it's irresponsible not to support public education in the state. So you guys have heard enough from me, and you'll be able to get in touch with our campaign through your fearless leader anytime, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. And because Riley's here, you know I'll come back again and visit some more. So I thank you very much.